The Michigan DNR Hunt Fish app is your digital connection to all things hunting and fishing in Michigan. Buy, store, and display your hunting and fishing licenses, check your points and chances for elk and bear, apply for the draw, and view drawing results. Access all the hunting and fishing regulations, view your hunter safety certificate, and report your harvest, all from within the Michigan DNR Hunt Fish app. Just click the app banner at the top of the page for download instructions at michigan.gov/hunting.
You know what that sound means. It's time for the Michigan DNR's Wild Talk Podcast. Welcome to the Wild Talk Podcast, where representatives from the DNR's Wildlife Division chew the fat and shoot the scat about all things habitat, feathers, and fur. With insights, interviews, and your questions answered on the air, you'll get a better picture of what's happening in the world of wildlife here in the great state of Michigan.
Welcome to Wild Talk. I'm your host, Rachel Leitner, and here with me today is the fabulous Hannah Schauer.
Well, hello, Rachel. This episode, we'll be talking about some neat habitat projects in the Upper Peninsula, which sound really awesome. We'll be ruffling some feathers while we talk bird watching opportunities at the Gems, and we're going to start thinking spring with some reminders about black bears and baby wildlife.
Yes, and then later in the show, we will, of course, announce the winners of our Wild Talk podcast camp mugs, and then you'll be able to find out how you can win one, too.
Trees provide for the well-being of our state. That's why we work so hard to keep our forests healthy and abundant, so wildlife has a home, and so do people, so that there's clean air and water for everyone, and so Michigan's economy can be as strong as the trees that support it, because every branch of forestry ensures that future generations will always have a tree for life. And forests for a lifetime. To learn how sustainable forestry benefits your life, visit michigan.gov/forestsforalifetime.
We are joined today by not one, but two wildlife technicians from the Upper Peninsula to chat about a few awesome habitat projects they have been working on. Caleb Eckloff and Coulter Lubin are joining us today. Thank you so much for being here.
Our pleasure, for sure. Thanks for having us.
So to get us started, could you each let us know what areas you cover and what your roles are as wildlife technicians?
Yes, this is Coulter speaking, and I'm a wildlife technician. As Rachel said, I cover Delta and, well, Western Delta County and all of Menominee County, and that's considered the Escanaba Forest Management Unit. And I've been here almost 10 years full-time and did some seasonal stuff before that. And fun fact, Caleb was my first ever employee with the DNR.
Yep, since 2014. I've been here just a couple of seasons with Coulter, and then I started full-time here in Marquette in 2016. So for the Marquette position, I'm responsible for Marquette and Western Alger Counties. And we both do some similar stuff. There's always the habitat projects that pretty specific to the wildlife technician job, but we've also got a lot of nuisance wildlife control issues that we handle. Actually, I just got wrapped up with coordinating the moose survey this year. So that's another fun project that I've been a part of. Coulter, do you have any other fun projects?
Yeah. Obviously, a lot of this job is super fun, so I like doing it. But, I think that across the region, even across the state, there's a lot of similarities, but of course there's differences. But, you know, the big ones for a technician, of course, are wildlife surveys, which are things such as aerial moose survey, deer check, fur bear registration, fawn surveys, wolf surveys every other winter. And then nuisance animal response is a big one, especially Caleb and I probably respond to the most in the UP because, of course, we got the two biggest population centers that we have, Escanaba and Marquette. Habitat projects, as Caleb mentioned. And then honestly, my favorite part of the job is just like assisting the public, and some of that's nuisance response, but a lot of it is just like people looking to know where to go do certain things outdoors, right? Whether that be hunting or just where can I go walk my dog on public land and be safe and see cool stuff. So yeah, a lot of public interaction.
You two certainly do a lot, and all of it sounds awesome. If you ever need a volunteer for a moose survey or a wolf survey or even a fawn survey, you can ask us and we'd be more than happy to come tag along. So you broke down quite a few different things you do for us. How about what's the biggest project?
Yeah, so I would say probably a project I became pretty passionate about shortly after starting here, which was, again, a reminder, was 2014. We have a WMA, which is a wildlife management area within Delta County, just south of the city limits of Escanaba. And it's called Portage Marsh WMA. It's a 600-acre coastal marsh. And I think the thing that I like about it the most, and I noticed it shortly after I started, was just like the diversity in users there. It's probably the most popular dog walking spot in all of Escanaba. It's got a beautiful beach within the property. It's really popular waterfowl hunting area, popular e-birding location. It's got its own hot spot, both for songbirds and migratory waterfowl. And then just recently, it started to have black terns that are nesting at the location too. So just really cool spot. And the biggest thing that I've took the lead on is just to improve the infrastructure there because of the diversity of users. So we added two large viewing platforms. We made the parking lot paved. We continuously mow the trail just for ease of use. And we've added a lot of interpretive signage just so that while they're out there, can also learn about wildlife.
That's a lot of really great improvements that you're putting in there. And then you did mention that black terns are starting to nest there. What kind of habitat is there that the terns are choosing to nest in?
One of the areas that they have been frequenting is the coastal marshes of Delta County, which Portage Marsh is part of. And really what they need is they need, you know, coastal marsh with vegetation that then gets matted, and that is where they nest. And then, of course, there's a food component in which, you know, it's connected to Lake Michigan, so there's plenty of food. In 2020, it was the first year in over 20 years there was any recorded terns nesting in Portage, and there's people watching it very closely.
I did hear you have another great project happening near Escanaba at the Lindbeck Lake Openings. Can you tell us more about that project?
So that project is located in western Menominee County, just west of the town of Daggett. The town of Daggett is not big, but it is a place if you look at a map. And that is on state forest land. So that is not, it's not a special wildlife management area. It's just a part of the state forest management system within the Escanaba Forest Management Unit. I'm sure some of the listeners are aware, a lot of the openings within the state of Michigan, of course, are on private land. That's, you know, as people colonized Michigan, of course, farming was one thing they did. And a lot of the good valuable openings are, you know, in farm fields or now populated in Walmarts and stuff like that. But this area is unique in that there's three large openings, 36 acres, 42 and 87, which a total of three openings totaling 145 acres. We're in the process of successfully restoring that site. And it was planted to 22 native grasses and forbs back in 2021. And we're hoping that they establish themselves well and that we're going to be managing that site via mowing and then eventually prescribed fire.
Thanks, Coulter. We appreciate you highlighting that project. And then farther to the north where you're located, Caleb, you have a similar project going on, it sounds. Can you tell us more about that?
In the 70s, the Department of Natural Resources wanted to try and establish some waterfowl stopover locations throughout the state. So in 1972, the Autrain State Wildlife Management Area became a real thing. But only in the 90s did it actually reach its full potential, where there were abundant openings planted to small grains for the benefit of waterfowl moving north and south in their respective seasons. And it was a cool idea. Unfortunately, things kind of rolled back. Canada geese started doing way, way better than back in the 70s. And the status of the Autrain area kind of rolled back to just like sharecropped fields that are hayed now, only about 230 some acres. Rather than the 500 that was originally established. And largely, these fields are now some cool season grasses and a ton of knapweed. So it kind of reset the playing field a little bit. Although originally intended to be waterfowl-centric, the actual basin itself is predicted to go away. The hydroelectric dam that has created that water space is likely due for decommissioning. Kind of an opportunity to say, what can we do with this space that's now filled with a bunch of knapweed? So in 2021, there's an opportunity to apply for a state wildlife grant. So we applied thinking, nah, there's no way this is going to happen. Sure enough, it did. So we got a bunch of money to cultivate 58 acres at the Autrain State Wildlife Management Area and plant a bunch of native grasses and forbs. And I do want to take a moment right now to throw out a huge thank you to Jesse Lincoln of the Michigan Natural Features Inventory. He helped dial in a list of species that would be representative of the area, historically speaking. So it's kind of cool. Like I said, we only were able to do this last year, so in 2022. So monitoring is now going to take place for the next couple of years, and hopefully we'll be able to rotate a successful warm season field or two into a prescribed burn regime, which would be darn cool.
What kinds of things will you be monitoring for?
So the big one is going to be sharp-tailed grouse out there. And there's a whole host of species that are going to benefit from the warm season, but the sharp-tails have kind of been the focal species.
Very cool. So will this area, is this like a protected wildlife area, or can folks go out here, and is recreation an option?
There's actually going to be a birding trail that is in the works to be established. However, there is a refuge established in the Autrain State Wildlife Management Area, and it's a subset of the total property, and it's closed from September 1 through November 10th. But we'll see. I'm not sure about the coming future of that refuge, but every space around the refuge is certainly open year-round.
These sound like excellent projects, and for those folks visiting the Upper Peninsula, definitely check them out. But we appreciate you taking the time to tell us about some of the work you've been doing. Thanks for joining us.
Been great. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Are you looking for funding to help increase or enhance habitat for wildlife? Visit michigan.gov/DNR grants to learn more about the Wildlife Habitat Grant Program. The application period is now open, and applications must be submitted by March 16th. That's michigan.gov/DNR grants, and look for the Wildlife Habitat Grant Program. Stick around, folks. We'll cover all things feathers next.
There are many camping and lodging opportunities available in Michigan state parks. When you choose state park campgrounds, you get more than just a campsite. State parks offer a diverse range of recreational opportunities, including hands-on instructional classes, nature programs, places to fish, boat launches, family-friendly events, and much more. Reservations can be made 6 months in advance, so why wait? Visit MIDNRreservations.com or call 1-800-44-PARKS to make a reservation.
Welcome back to Wild Talk. Spring is just around the corner, and with it, birds will be on the move, some returning to Michigan from their warm winter getaways. And it makes it a great time to get out and do some bird watching.
Indeed, it does. And at our GEMS, which are Grouse Enhanced Management Sites, are some great places for folks to check out some spring birding opportunities.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with Michigan's GEMS, what are grouse enhanced management sites, and what makes them so special?
So GEMS are areas of publicly accessible land managed for wildlife habitat and wildlife recreation. So they're intentionally managed for birds, mostly birds such as grouse, woodcock, and turkeys. But each area provides abundant food sources and shelter for diverse species, including migratory birds. So this spring, as birds are returning and searching for suitable mates, these areas are going to be really great spring birding hotspots.
So these areas are managed for birds, so they likely are going to attract a wide variety of birds. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what types of bird species that folks might be able to find at this type of habitat?
Certainly. So the habitat is mostly young aspen stands, which are perfect for finding ruffed grouse or beautiful golden-winged warblers, and one of Michigan's most unique birds, the American woodcock. Now, these birds are very unusual in appearance. They're one of my most favorite birds you can see during the spring. With their plump, little round bodies and these long, skinny, pointed bills, they are easy to spot and always enjoyable to watch. But they're most known for their twirling mating dance. So during this time of year, through March and April, just after dusk on the edge of grassy areas, you can listen for their peent sound, which is very distinct. A call that they make, followed by a spiraling aerial performance. So this mating display is one of the best wildlife viewing opportunities in Michigan each spring. And it's obvious. You can hear it and you can see a bird twirling in the air. So I really recommend you go check these out.
So these aspen stands sound like great places to do some bird watching, but they're also very attractive to other species too, like small game, including rabbits, hare, squirrels, as well as larger species like deer and elk too. So these areas are great for a variety of recreation besides just spring bird watching.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, the GEM areas are specifically managed for wildlife habitat and recreation. In particular, hunters will use these areas in the fall to hunt for upland game bird species like turkeys, grouse, and woodcock, and for deer and bear hunting. And then in the winter, these areas again make for excellent squirrel hunting locations or places to go winter birding when the indigo buntings and cardinals are fluttering about and are super fun to watch. These gems are open year-round for visitors to explore and enjoy the natural world around them.
So besides the habitat management that happens at these gems sites, what other features can visitors expect to find if they want to go check out one of these areas for birding or hunting?
Yeah, so these sites offer a unique experience depending on which sites you visit. There are 18, and each are equipped with a map that is both online, and there's a kiosk that has an area map and very specific information to the area, and then also hunter walking trails and aerial imagery of the different habitat types in the area. So if you want to check out a grassland or if you want to check out a young aspen stand, you'll have a map that will show you where those habitats are located and how to get to them. And then, of course, for anyone who is a little bit more adventurous and wants to go off trail, there is one GEMS, the Norwich GEMS, which is located in the Ottawa National Forest. This is managed for specific habitats, but there's no hunter walking trails. And so you get a little bit more of a rugged experience.
Now, these GEM sites are located throughout the Upper Peninsula and northern portions of the Lower Peninsula. If folks wanted to find out where GEMS are and plan a visit, where can they learn more?
You can find more information on the different GEMS by visiting michigan.gov/GEMS, where you can use the interactive map to see locations and find more information about each site.
And if you're looking for more information about birding in Michigan, be sure to check out michigan.gov/birding. Now stay tuned for all things fur.
Find a new fishing spot. The Family-Friendly Fishing Waters map shows family-friendly fishing locations across the state that are easy to access and have a high likelihood of catching fish. You can filter locations by what type of fish you want to catch or whether you want to fish from a boat, a pier, or the shore. You can even filter by amenities like swimming availability and restrooms, as well as entry fees that may apply. To find out more, click on Family Friendly Fishing Waters at michigan.gov/fishing. Try to catch me howling at the moon.
Now, there may still be snow on the ground, but it isn't too early to start thinking about spring. In fact, later this month, some black bears might even begin emerging from their dens.
Right. So now is a great time to take inventory of what you have in and around your property that might attract a hungry bear who is in search of a tasty snack after having gone months without one.
Yes, and you'd be surprised at what bears can find around homes. For example, many folks like to feed birds for the winter, but now is a really good time to start taking those bird feeders down. These hungry bears will be looking for an easy meal to replenish calories that they've lost over the winter months, and bird seeds tend to be high in fat and calories and are extremely easy to access, making them especially attractive to bears.
Yes, and as we've talked before, other wildlife can be attracted to bird feeders as well. So it's a good thing to keep in mind no matter where you are in the state. Lots of wildlife can be attracted to bird feeders. We did mention last episode, too, that bird feeders can attract small mammals, which can in turn attract predators like fox and coyotes to the area.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are some other things to be aware of that might attract a black bear to your area, which include pet foods and trash that might be just out in your yard. Bears and other wildlife can be more active under the veil of darkness, too. So rather than leaving the garbage can outside overnight, you can store the garbage in your garage or basement, or even in your freezer if it's a small enough garbage bag, until the morning when garbage is collected. That way it's not emitting odors and trash smells that can attract bears and, again, other critters to your trash, which can often lead to a really big mess for you to clean up the next morning. Also, if you are already firing up your grill or using your fire pit to cook, Those should be cleaned of food debris and grease after each use, because these are all things a sensitive bear nose can easily pick up.
Yes, bears have incredible sense of smell. Also, the one thing I find particularly interesting about black bears is they're very capable of remembering locations of food sources from year to year. So if you've had a bear visit your area in the past, and that bear has been successful at getting something to eat, whether it be from a bird feeder or under your apple tree or what have you, you can anticipate that that bear may come by again to see if the area has available food, such as when the apples are ripe on your apple tree and they are starting to fall down. The bear will remember what time of year that is and where the location is, so you're likely to see them show up again. But if they are unsuccessful at finding a meal, so if you have a bird feeder situation, remove the bird feeders, and they come back and can't find food again, they'll move on and search for food elsewhere.
Yes, and they will travel great distances to search for food. So they're very opportunistic when it comes to what they eat. So they will eat almost anything, and they may surprise you. And what may surprise you is that their main dietary staple is vegetation. So they're largely eating leafy greens and berries and nuts and insects when they're available, but they have a high variety in things that they eat. But early spring vegetation, when things are just turning green and popping up out of the ground, often one of a bear's most enticing food sources. However, allowing bears to eat from places that are near your home or human-provided food sources, such as bird feeders or garbage or outdoor pet foods, this just rewards bad bear behavior, which can be dangerous for the bear and often leads to the bears eventually having to be removed.
Now, if you do take some preventative measures and continue to have issues with black bears this spring, at that point, you can get in touch with your local wildlife staff for some further assistance.
And to keep with our thinking spring theme, a quick reminder that baby wildlife and nests will start popping up in the coming months. And it is always best to leave baby wildlife and nests alone if you happen to come across them. Most often, the adult is nearby, even if you don't see it.
Yes. Now, wildlife have different survival strategies than we humans do, and that includes parenting strategies that will give their offspring the best chance of survival into adults. So while it seems strange to us, some of the things they might do, like leaving babies unattended, it really is best to leave the babies be and let the parents raise them.
Now, you can find out more how to handle nuisance issues with wildlife like bears and what to do if you find a baby wild animal at michigan.gov/wildlife. And of course, remember to enjoy the sights and sounds of spring this season.
Michigan.gov/DNR trails is your destination for trail maps, trail etiquette, and trail closure information. Trail information for biking, cross-country skiing, horseback riding, hiking, off-road vehicle riding, snowmobiling, snowshoeing, and even water trails for kayaking and canoeing are available. While you're there, remember to check out information about pet-friendly recreation, track chairs, and the Iron Bell Trail. All available at michigan.gov/DNR trails.
Now is your opportunity to win a Wild Talk podcast mug. As a thank you to our listeners, we'll be giving away a mug or two every episode.
Our February mug winners are Carrie Case and Bill Kamen. Check your email as we'll be getting in touch with you soon. They answered the question, what is the breeding habitat for the Kirkland's warbler? The answer is young jack pine forests. Specifically young forests, because these small birds nest on the ground and they use the lower pine branches to help hide their nests. So as the trees mature, those low-hanging branches will die and fall off. So it's key habitat for the Kirtland's warbler.
To be entered into the drawing this month, test your wildlife knowledge and answer our wildlife quiz question. And since we'll be hearing the springtime frog chorus beginning soon, this month's quiz question is, how many species of frogs and toads do we have in Michigan?
Email your name and answer to us at dnr-wildlife@michigan.gov to be entered for a chance to win a mug. Be sure to include the subject line as Mug Me and submit your answer by March 15th. We'll announce winners and the answer on next month's podcast, so be sure to listen in and see if you've won and for the next quiz question.
Good luck, everybody!
Michigan conservation officers are working hard to protect and keep the outdoors safe for current and future generations. If you witness a natural resources violation, you can call or text the Report All Poaching hotline 24 hours a day at 1-800-292-7800 or fill out the complaint form available at michigan.gov/rap. If you would like more information on becoming a conservation officer, click on Become a CO at michigan.gov/conservation officers.
Well, thanks for joining us on this March edition of the Wild Talk podcast. Remember, if you have questions about wildlife or hunting, you can call 517-284-WILD or email at dnr-wildlife@michigan.gov. We will see you back here in April.
This has been the Wild Talk podcast, your monthly podcast airing the first of each month and offering insights into the world of wildlife across the state of Michigan. You can reach the Wildlife Division at 517-284-9453 or dnr-wildlife@michigan.gov.